Welcome to San Francisco Ballet's Meet the Artist. My name is Catherine Barkman, and I'm a soloist at San Francisco Ballet. This podcast series of Meet the Artist interviews is your chance to get to know us, the dancers, musicians, designers, and choreographers at SF Ballet, as we discuss our lives, the process in the studio, performances on stage, and more. Join us for Meet the Artist interviews live and in person in the Opera House before Friday and Sunday performances. Or tune in all season long to hear podcast recordings of San Francisco Ballet's Meet the Artist interviews. Enjoy!
This is San Francisco Ballet's Meet the Artist. I'm Kristen Bertrand, Senior Director of Leadership Giving, and I have the honor of interviewing Wei Wang, Principal Dancer.
Good evening.
I want to say congratulations on your truly magnificent performances this season. Just so happy for you and how you're performing.
Thank you.
Tonight we have the pleasure of seeing three works from last season's New Works Festival, Next at 90. We will see first Nicholas Blanc's Gateway of the Sun. We'll see Yuri Posikov's Violin Concerto and Danielle Rowe's Madcap. But first, I'd love to talk with you, Wei, and to get some of your insights, not only on the works that we have seen across the 2024 repertory season, but first Nicholas Blanc's Gateway to the Sun. And before I get into that, for those of you who don't know Wei, Wei, you joined the company in 2012. And you were promoted to principal dancer, and principal is the highest rank in the company, in 2018. Could you tell us briefly about where you started your ballet training and what brought you to San Francisco Ballet School and San Francisco Ballet?
So obviously my name is Wei. I was born in a rather smaller city, Anshan, which is about 6 hours train ride to Beijing, where I start ballet training in the Beijing Dance Academy at year 10, 11, I forgot, long time ago. And I have a great aunt that lives in the States and really want to bring me here to visit. And then she found out the SF Ballet School is auditioning. And that was a great visitor visa, to get over here. So she took the chance, and then she didn't tell me. She packed my dance belt and my tights, and then drove me in front of the building, that which was the last day of visiting. So she said, "Are you in or out? I can easily drive away." And I was just like, "Fine, I'll do it." And that's how it got me here.
Well, we're so glad that you got out. And we're very grateful to your aunt. So Wei, since you joined San Francisco Ballet and were promoted to principal, have you had the opportunity to perform any leading roles that were on your wish list as a dancer?
Oh God, I can't speak for everyone, but most of the dancers when they started, they want to do the Prince Siegfried in Swan Lake and Albert in Giselle and in Donkey, and many, many. Luckily, I've performed those, and I'm not bragging about it, which I am kind of. But that's why I'm so appreciative of that. I have a whole team that can support me to sort of help me achieve those dreams, which also, Onegin, that's also on my list. I've never done Romeo, so that's also on my list. Miss Rojo, that's your notes if you're listening.
Oh, this is already good. Well, one of the ballets that we've enjoyed seeing you in last season, which was a work you helped originate, was Nicholas Blanc's Gateway to the Sun. And this, of course, will be the first piece on tonight's program. So I wanted to ask you if you could tell us a little bit about what it was like to work with Blanc as a choreographer in creating this new work.
Mr. Blanc is a very fun person to work with in studio. He's super French. And I swear, half of the time, I don't really understand what he's saying. But thanks to our rehearsal director, Tina, her great translation. But he has so much positive energy in the studio and then that he brings, and he loves to demonstrate them, which you often find so impressive that even he is a rehearsal director with Joffrey Ballet, and he's retired since he was a principal dancer with this company. Great dancer, and you still find it so fascinating when he demonstrated. He was like, oh, wow, look at your silver hair. You can still lift your leg so high up. And the way that he shows you how much passion that he has towards his own work and towards ballet just really makes you want to work and really want to collaborate with him, be in the moment with him in the studio. So.
And last year, you were originally coupled with Sasha Desola in the second movement. And this Sunday, you will return as the poet himself. And the poet is the lead role in this particular ballet. If anyone has already taken a peek at the program notes, you'll know that Nicholas Blanc and his Frenchness was inspired by poetry for this work, particularly the writing of 13th century Persian poet Rumi. And it was lines from a poet that read, "Dance when you're broken open. Dance if you've torn the bandage off. Dance in the middle of fighting. Dance in your blood. Dance when you're perfectly free." Wei, were you familiar with Rumi's poetry prior to this experience? And did you find that his writing resonated with you and your life experience as a dancer?
I mean, no, not at all. That was the first time also hearing it from Nick himself, which in a moment I did not understand a word because of his accent. But later on I studied, and then that poem perfectly explained the piece itself, also in a way that I feel like explains a dancer's career. The phases, which the first phase, you enter into the studio, you have to break yourself open, you have to keep yourself open for possibilities, for the potential pain and exhaustion, and then moving on, you have to be acceptive of those pains and then keep working hard to pursue your dream and then to consistently doing the same steps over and over again until you get it. And then you fight for whatever that is that you have to fight for, because, I mean, in reality, most of the time just doesn't work. You're not on your leg, you're so far off from a jump and you just land it weirdly. You're like, oh, I didn't expect that, but it just happens a lot. And then once you practice so much, it's sort of like it start getting to your body and you feel like, oh, this feels good. I can do more. I feel like I can find sort of a freedom of dancing. And the process starts from beginning again. I know it sounds painful, but really, really fun.
So we were chatting a little bit more about this backstage and this idea of dance when you're broken open versus dancing when you're perfectly free. And for those of you that are familiar with the study and the practice of ballet, it is so much about achieving near perfection. And daily you're faced with your own imperfections that are almost highlighted to yourself in the mirror. How is it possible, or how have you found ways to dance in a way that is perfectly free when sometimes that's so difficult with the art form of ballet?
I mean, perfectly free, it just sounds, still to this day, it sounds very, very idealistic, right? Because the idea of you turn on music and you can just dance without thinking about it. But in reality, you're like, what comes next? And then am I gonna be on the floor in the next movement. But I think throughout the career, and then I'm still finding myself, and I can pretty much speak to majority of the dancers that who are actively dancing or to pursue a professional career, chasing after perfection. But for me, ballet isn't about perfection. Ballet is about, for me, ballet is about a working process, right? This is a work that we work so hard on, and we shape it, we form it, we build it together, and then we put it on stage, and for audience to view them, that's also part of the process of becoming an art form. It doesn't just happen on our end. If we make it perfect, we don't need an audience, right? But that's not ballet. This is theater. We need the both ends to make a connection, to keep ballet alive, to keep the art form perfect. That's perfection for me.
And that's when you transition from that physical practice to being an artist. So as an artist, how do you prepare for an abstract role like the poet? And how is that different from a more classical character, like one of your dream roles of Prince Siegfried in Swan Lake, which we did get to see you dance this season?
I have to say my approach to those two are, in theory, is very, very similar. Character is a character, or there's some meaning behind this person that people see on stage. It's, for me, it's not that difference. It's just I have to use the right tool to tell the story right, or to make the audience, again, make the audience connect and make the audience understand. I think the best example of that is to compare wine and a fine shaken cocktail. They're all alcoholic beverage, but they prepare differently and people taste them differently. But at the end of the day, in theory, they're alcoholic beverage that makes you feel happy. So I think it comes to, for answering that question, for more abstract characters, I do need to find a way to sort of, I need to be convinced myself, of course. I need to find a way that be like, I am absolutely comfortable and confident to shape this character, to build it up and then make it believable. But for a classical characters which exists with a like role like Prince Siegfried by itself as a charisma, when you enter, people automatically will assume, oh, that's a prince, because of the stance, because of the costume, because of the perfectly sleek hair. But you do have to put on lots of energy to be committed to the character. You have to be living the moment to be in one. But for abstract, sometimes you have to find your own ways to make it convincing. For people, convincing.
So a poet dancing with his emotions amidst the sandy dunes is not the only abstract persona we've seen you embrace. Most recently, we were mesmerized by your interpretation of hope in Azure Barton's world premiere of Mere Mortals. Can you tell us a little bit about what did it mean for you to be chosen to represent hope itself, and to work with Azure to create this central conceptual character?
Yeah, I mean, hope, the character Hope is a perfect example of what I would just describe as an abstract character. Because Hope, Azure was describing Hope as this gigantic charisma that exists in the universe, that floating around, that exists around all creatures in this globe or across the universe. And it constantly existing with this consistent energy that has been floating or pierce across any space. So immediately when I doing those steps, very quick footworks or jumping around or turning around, that I need to keep my energy level quite high to project that energy to the audience in order to make the audience understand that, oh, this is some sort of positive energy just shooting across anywhere.
Wei, for those of us who know you, see how joyful and warm and energetic you are, and I'll never forget the first time that I met you, my first day working at San Francisco Ballet. We were riding the elevator together, and I was like, hello, Mr. Wang. I'm Kristen, I just started working here. And you said, with the biggest smile, welcome, and gave me a big hug. And I'll never forget that. And so you strike me as being very naturally hopeful. And I want to ask you, what gives you hope or makes you feel hopeful?
For me, little things. I think waking up knowing that I still have a job. And I still can able to do what I do without so much holdbacks, which I'm still very grateful for, is that coming to this building and knowing, oh, everything I was dreamed of or what I was working on, that still carries me here. And that's hopeful. Small things like also food.
What kind of food gives you hope, Wei?
I mean, I just had dinner, but my next meal, I hope it will be pasta. To be specific.
Do you feel, what do you hope for when you're on the stage? Do you get nervous? Do you have a mantra or anything you say to yourself or think about while you're performing other than, I hope I don't end up on the floor?
Well, that's the thing, I hope it never happens. But I can, but before answering that question, I think the fun part of doing this is that you never know what you get before you go on stage. Yes, you rehearse, you can rehearse 1,000 times, 10,000 times, and you can make it as perfect as it can be. But it depends on your energy, it depends on how your body feels. When the curtain goes out, you're just like, all right, let's go. And I don't want to say, make it sound so spiritual, like, oh, I have to pray or anything, but it kind of, time to time, you have to leave it for your, you have to believe in yourself and to be like, all right, it is what it is. I mean, you do have to bring the best for the audience, but you have to find the joy yourself.
I see.
Going back to it is when I'm super prepared, when I'm super confident about something that I rehearse well, I can just enjoy, and I love that when that happens. But that's like one of the blue moon kind of a thing. When you have to find a perfect balance of, you have to listen to your body and then to be like, okay, tonight I feel a little bit tired, so for something I might take a little easier so I can actually enjoy a little bit more. I can bring the best out of myself. But some nights, oh, I just have so much energy, I just want to bust this one out to be like, I want to be super energetic. And that also happens. So, but I want to say I'm a nervous tensor, but I'm really, really don't. Sometimes it seems like, oh, I can say, I'm telling my colleagues, I'm like, oh, my palms are sweating. But most of the time, I believe that's coming from like a place I really want to get out of there. I really want to get this out. Because when you build up in the studio, you build this kind of urge and like urgency. I really want this hard work to be seen. I want the audience to feel what I feel in the moment. That kind of thing. Yeah.
If anyone would like to see Wei bust one out, tickets are still available on Sunday for his role as the poet.
Yeah. Also, just mentioning the Hope, I'm still doing Hope in Mirror Mortal. That's also coming back.
Yes. Oh, I can't wait to see you do that again, Wei. That was extraordinary. I'm going to ask just one more question and then turn it over to you all for questions. Is there anything, any special moments or nuggets or things that you might not notice unless Wei pointed it out? We're going to see not only, of course, Gateway to the Sun, but Violin Concerto and Madcap, which is another ballet that you were a part of creating as a dancer. Anything that you want to highlight for folks that you love about these ballets or favorite moments, things to watch for?
I'm pretty much said a lot about Gateway to the Sun, which is still the music's beautiful and the movement's so fluid, and then it's so comfortable to watch. And there's a arc of throughout the piece, so it's a beautiful piece to watch. Violin Concerto, because Yuri is such a respectful choreographer to me, and he's so knowledgeable. He has such a big personality, and so his piece in general just feels like epic. I don't know why. It just naturally has the charisma of being epic. And the Violin Concerto has its own charm of his own understanding about the composer, Stravinsky, which is, I believe, is one of the greatest composers of all time. Still, he is. And there's lots of composers that are being inspired by him these days, and then he uses very his own way to, in a way, to explain his life and his understanding of music, and give a little bit of a humor at the end, which I'm not gonna spoil it for you. You will find out. And for Madcap, I absolutely love Dani Rowe. I think she's such a genius. She was another person that brought so much joy in the studio when I worked with her in the Madcap. And she just has so much, talent and brilliant ideas of creating characters, but without being so, in a way of a classical way, to be like, you have to do this to tell, you have to mind this to do the character, in a way that she put all those movements together, naturally form a character, and then make the storyline combine simultaneously, which is, I found it so genius. And then the concept about Madcap, it's just, you will see it. You will see it. So genius.
And Danielle Rowe actually won an Isadora Duncan Award for Best Choreography for 2023 for that work. Okay, we have just a little bit of time. Oh, first hand up. So for those who couldn't hear, our patron said that years ago, a principal dancer was sitting here, a gentleman, and was talking about all the young fellows that were coming up in the company, and the one dancer that he listed by name was Wei Wang. So quickly, for those who can't hear, the question is, a while back, Aaron Robinson, one of our principal dancers, was performing Don Quixote with Sasha De Sola, and he sprained his thumb during the first act. And so in the middle of the production, Wei had to jump in and finish the show. Were you scared?
So I think what happened was... I wasn't casted because I was so busy with other programs. I got a call one show after that Don Quixote show, and I got a call from one of our rehearsal director at 11 p.m. Do you mind jumping for the show, Dancing with Sasha, of course? I assume that you don't have a problem with, which I love Dancing with Sasha. And he said, you have 2 days, 4 hours of rehearsal, 2 hours a day. Would you willing to jump on board? I told him I'll get back to you tomorrow. This is a moment that, you know, they need you for. But I think what didn't make me hesitate so much was because I was dancing with Sasha, and that I almost didn't blink and just said, yeah, I'll do it. It's going to be okay. But I didn't know it was going to be okay or not. But after 4 hours rehearsal over 2 days, and then I was on stage. But luckily, our rehearsal director, Felipe, he was very caring and he was very thoughtful. He was, I remember he was in the backstage holding a coconut water and a banana for me. I'd be like, all right, what do you need? And the next entrance, you're gonna, don't forget, you're gonna take over the little money pouch from your Kitri's father. Don't forget about that. I was like,
any other questions for Wei? So the question is, having trained in Beijing and having trained here at San Francisco Ballet School, could you compare any differences in the philosophy of or the styles of training?
That's actually a really good question. In Beijing, we trained in a very Vaganova Academy style, which is a very Russian heavy technique, and then combines a little bit of British technique, but very minor. But it comes here, if you overlook the ballet in a global wise, there's a British ballet style, and there's Russian, there's French, and there's different kinds. But in what strikes me to, and I made my final decision to stay in with this company, was the diversity of how everyone comes together in the big pot, and then each person can offer, each dancer offering something for them by themselves, also stand alone, and we all come together in the unity, which that really, I found it just so interesting how we work harmonically, and then, but also individually, there's something to look at, and that's something I can never, at first I didn't understand, like, I came from a very academic training system, and then overlooking there's so many different style, but in a way that we learn and we work and we crash and we form, break and then build, break and build, and then to form this unity till something that we see on stage is quite incredible. I found still it fascinates me.
Dance when you're broken open, dance, yes, when you're perfectly exactly. Free. Wei, thank you so much for spending this time with us. Congratulations again on a wonderful season. We're so grateful to you. And we're grateful to all of you for supporting San Francisco Ballet by being here tonight, by buying a ticket, for subscribing, for supporting with your donations, all that you do to support us. Thank you. We hope that you enjoy tonight's performance. And if you enjoyed this conversation with Wei and want to relive the magic, it will be online for future listening. And you can discover many, many more conversations with dancers and artists of the company. And again, that's sfballet.org. Enjoy your evening.
Lastly, I have to say thank you so much for coming again. Thanks for listening to my nagging for 30 minutes. But please look forward to our returning of Mere Mortal and Swan Lake, which also we're doing Swan Lake in Madrid in October, yes. Which I'm very, we can travel internationally again. I'm so excited. And that's thanks to Tamar again.
Thanks to our wonderful artistic director, yes. Tamara Rojo.
Yeah. Thank you. Enjoy the show.
Thank you for listening to San Francisco Ballet's Meet the Artist. Please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. To learn more about SF Ballet or to attend in-person Meet the Artist interviews and performances, visit sfballet.org. See you at the ballet.